Support for the Source Podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. An investigation by the U.S. Department of Justice found that juveniles at five state detention facilities in Texas were subjected to a pattern of unlawful physical abuse, prolonged isolation, and denied essential rehabilitation services. The DOJ found that staffers routinely used pepper spray as a response to misbehavior by youths. They used physical restraints that obstructed their breathing and placed them in isolation for days without educational programs or other activities. The report alleged that Texas authorities did not protect juveniles at the facilities from sexual abuse, including attacks from staff members. In a statement, the Texas Juvenile Justice Department said it worked closely with the federal investigators and it made new investments to reverse staffing shortages as well as to bolster educational and mental health services. However, the statement did not say if state officials would pursue the recommendations included in the Justice Department's report. For more on this, we're joined by Alicia Castillo, the Associate Director of the of Policy at the Texas Civil Rights Project and co-founder of Finish the Five. Alicia, welcome to The Source.
Hi, David. Thanks for having me.
Also with us is Jennifer Toon, a former incarcerated youth who helps also organize with the Finish the Five. And Jennifer Toon, welcome to The Source.
Thank you, David.
And we're also joined by Martin Martinez, Senior Policy Analyst with Texas Appleseed. And Martin Martinez, welcome to The Source. Good to have you.
Thank you, David. Good to be here.
So, Martin, Texas Appleseed, y'all filed the initial complaint that led to the investigation. What was in that complaint?
Yeah, I know, for sure. So for a while, we had been hearing some concerning conditions that were going on within the state secure facilities that TDJD operated. We're hearing about an overuse of force. We're hearing about long hours of solitary confinement. And so we decided to do an open records request with the agency to see what was happening. And we went through OIG incident reports, so Office of the Inspector General, And what we found was concerning. A lot of these matched a lot of the concerning conditions we were hearing about. And we felt that the agency was violating children's rights guaranteed under the Constitution. So in partnership with Disability Rights Texas, which is another advocacy group here in Texas, we filed a joint complaint in October of 2020, indicating that there's some serious concerns with conditions for children in these state secure facilities. And a year later, the department decided to open the investigation. And I just want to say really fast, too, we are so grateful for the DOJ and for their thoroughness and for their detailed findings in this investigation.
Alicia Castillo, were you surprised by this report?
Unfortunately not, David. Like Martin mentioned, you see some things that we have been hearing about for years, which is, you know, obviously what led Appleseed and Disability Rights to file the complaint. And so it's something that, we wish we could call it a shocking report, but it's not. And we are relieved that there is some form of validation through the DOJ's report. But I hope that what this does is bring attention to folks who maybe weren't previously aware that this is going on, so that lawmakers take a serious and urgent look at the crisis that's happening in our child prisons in Texas.
Jennifer Toon, you're a formerly incarcerated youth who, did this all sound familiar? Did it sound like, yeah, that's what it's like?
Absolutely, David. And, you know, my justice involvement in the youth system was years ago, and it breaks my heart. It enrages me that when I read this report, this is exactly the experience that I had as a young girl in that system.
The overuse of pepper spray for the smallest of infraction, or even kind of if you show any kind of attitude, you're going to get hit in the face with pepper spray. The isolation, like putting people in a hole for extended periods of time without any attempts for education or rehabilitation. The lack of help for people who are dealing with emotional trauma, being no trauma-informed care happening at these facilities, Jennifer? Was that what you mean?
Absolutely. And not even, you didn't even really fully have mentioned the sexual abuse that goes on there, especially as kids with disabilities and girls, you know, all the kids, like, you have no way to get away from any of this stuff, right? Like, you're trapped there. And as a child, often, you know, when you try to cry out and get people to pay attention to what's happening to you, well, I mean, unfortunately, this we see for decades that no real change has happened.
So you're highlighting the sexual abuse part of this. So and that was in the report. But I have to really try and figure out, like, how bad was it? It's bad, but was it horrifically awful, nonstop bad? Is this like an epidemic of sexual abuse going on at these Texas facilities, Jennifer?
I'm going to tell you from my experience and from the girls that I was incarcerated with. Again, my experience was many, many years ago, but what I'm reading in this report sounds an awful, you know, awful lot like what we experienced. And when we say horrific, I mean horrific, right? Like you are vulnerably trapped in those cells, in those dorms, and you are at the mercy of whoever comes into your room. And that's the truth.
Alicia Castillo at the Texas Civil Rights Project, help me make sense of what we're hearing here.
Yeah, so it's horrific, like Jennifer said, and really a crisis. And I think, like you said, an epidemic, when we see that the report notes that despite ample notice and evidence and complaints over the past several decades, we failed to implement measures to prevent this pattern and practice of sexual abuse from continuing. There was even the Texas Rangers investigation of the sexual misconduct in 2021 that resulted in more arrests of staff, and yet it continues as new staff come in. And one of the challenges is when we take the most vulnerable youth, and these truly are the most vulnerable youth in Texas. I mean, the report lays out some of the stats, right, that we have. The average child in TJJD is 5 to 7 grades behind their peers. They struggle with learning disabilities, other disabilities. These are kids who have been victimized their entire lives. The vast majority of them have severe mental health issues. And the report notes that 91% of the girls alone have some clear or possible concern for commercial sexual exploitation in their past. And so we take the people who are largely young and come from very similar backgrounds to the vulnerable kids that are incarcerated, and employ them to have authority over kids, again, who are not many years younger than them and who are from very similar backgrounds. And we give them weapons, these MK9 canisters of pepper spray, and authority over children who are locked in rooms. And we've created a recipe for disaster, harm, and violence.
Our number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Call in with your questions and comments about this shocking report from the U.S. Department of Justice, about the Texas Department, the Juvenile Justice Department. So, Martinez, this report comes out, it documents all of these abuses that are happening in these state facilities. And then what happens? I mean, they make some recommendations, but the state of Texas doesn't have to follow those recommendations. I know that we've had the Texas State Living Centers are under a federal court order that they have to comply and have to raise their standards. There's all sorts of things like that in Texas brought about by federal involvement, saying that they violated the rights of these people under the state care. I mean, does that need to happen here?
Right. So at this point right now, the state has really two options. The first is that they can agree to the findings based on this report, and they can agree to the remedial recommendations that were made to address the issues that were found under this investigation. Now, the state can choose to do so, but if they choose not to do so, then the Department of Justice can sue the state in order to make them comply with their findings. And, you know, I am really hopeful that this is really an opportunity for the state to make meaningful change to our state secure facilities. Because, I mean, if this doesn't, I don't know what will. And I really want to emphasize something, too. This investigation was system-wide. You know, it was not limited to one facility, one incident, one child. It was found through all five state secure facilities across the state. And so significant reform needs to happen. These children need it.
So when you say this is the complete Texas Juvenile Justice Department, you know, this is what they have, all five of these facilities. They don't have a single one that was that passed this investigation.
Correct. Yes, these accounts of abuse were found to be pervasive throughout all five state secure facilities.
And so we're going to go to the break really quick right now. But first, you know, when we come back, I want to talk more about what is finished the five. What is the argument that we have? What about a rehabilitation and the delivery of trauma services to these youth so that they can live a life of productivity and positive well-being? And again, the number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Mark, I'll get you on the air as soon as we come back from this break. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Stay with us.
Support for TPR comes from Jingu House in the Japanese Tea Garden, featuring Asian cuisine with a San Antonio twist. Open for lunch 7 days a week. View the menu at jinguhousesatx.com.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We're talking about an investigation report released last week by the U.S. Department of Justice into the Texas Juvenile Justice Department, finding that its five facilities, detention facilities, are just rife with abuse against the youth, and that there needs to be massive reforms in order to protect the children from the people who are supposed to be there taking care of them. You can call in with your questions and comments, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. And let's go to Mark on the phones. And Mark, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. I've worked in the field. I've seen it firsthand. This is Texas. This is Texas. It's not just the penal system. It's Texas. The chart. I worked for an autism treatment center, which has residential units for orphans with various disabilities. I witnessed abuse, violent abuse, constantly. Some of my colleagues, I'm going to put that in quotes, would joke about sexually abusing these children. I can give you one of those jokes right now if you want me to. It's terrible. Now, I made the management aware of all of this in writing. I even went to Texas Child Protective Services in written statements. This was back in 2012. Nothing has been done. In fact, I've heard people going after public education for these reasons, when in fact, you know, they're not the problem. These charter schools and facilities in Texas are the problem. Okay. And
all right, Mark, thank you for your call. We appreciate that. So two main points he brings up. I'm going to go to the thing about management. So Martin Martinez with the Texas Appleseed, the complaint that was the report from the DOJ saying that, okay, not only did the sexual abuse events happen, but they seem to be happening without efforts, corrective efforts coming from the administration. Is that it?
Right. And I will say, I think the agency just hasn't done a good job of taking measures to reduce
these incidents from happening? I mean, take the protocols too for the grievance system that children have to them. So right now, if a kid is placed in solitary confinement, they must request a grievance form from a staff member to be able to submit it. And that seems really counterintuitive if it is a staff member that is the one that's abusing you, right? And so the system is not built to, like, empower youth. It really makes it difficult for youth to report these incidents, which are really hard to talk about.
Right, but it does seem like the administration was very tolerant of the sexual abuse of these children. Alicia Castillo with the Texas Civil Rights Project, the caller made reference, like, this is Texas. And so other states are able to do this, right, without these problems. So why can't Texas?
Yeah, David. So unfortunately, there aren't a lot of states that safely incarcerate children. We don't really, these reports, while they're particularly horrific, and there's a large instance of reports that are they're found within the DOJ's investigation, this is something that other states do struggle with, and it's one of the reasons that other states are making the move, and even the Congress has made the recommendation that we move away from the practice of child incarceration. Sometimes when we bring those words up together in conversations, people say, what? Like, that sounds, I can't believe those exist. And it is ridiculous that those still exist in the year 2024. And one of the challenges, or one of the reasons that you mentioned Finish the Five earlier, one of the reasons we launched that campaign is because these problems have been so pervasive for so many years, really since the juvenile incarceration system was born in Texas. You know that throughout the early 2000s, there were repeated allegations of very similar reports of abuse. And so that led to the agency being placed under conservatorship. And then after that, there was another DOJ investigation, which only all these things did was help us to rename the system, have new executive directors, and we've been doing this for over 100 years now. So now we're recommending wholesale change. And for us, that means moving away from the pattern and practice of incarcerating children, period.
Okay, I'm going to ask more about Finish the Five in a second, but I want to get a caller on next. We have Nancy holding on. And Nancy, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, yes, this just really makes my blood boil. I worked in child abuse prevention decades ago. I'm 74, and it's like nothing has changed. And I do not understand how the public, I don't understand how people who should be doing this prevention or just at least responsibility still don't get it. When you say horrific, this is setting up these children for failure for life. And what I want to know is, and also everybody knows this kind of facility attracts pedophiles. That's where they want to work with kids. So what I want to know is, as a citizen, what can I do? What can people do to make sure that this changes? Because anyway, you get my drift.
All right, well, Nancy, thank you for your call. Jennifer Toon, what do you tell people? What can they do to improve the system?
Well, absolutely. You've got to contact your legislators, right? Like, you've got to vote for the people that will enact the changes that we're talking about, right? Like, you've got to do your part as a citizen to let them know just how you feel about this, right? This is shocking. This is, there's no other words to describe it. It's shocking what we're doing to children. It's shocking what was done to me and to the other girls that I was incarcerated with.
Now, the Texas Juvenile Justice Department, they released a statement where they said that this investigation happened when the agency was at the peak of its unprecedented staffing shortages, in which they now say that they have fixed. And so it's almost as if they're saying, Alicia, that they have fixed this problem. Is that what you're reading here?
That's what I'm reading, and it's the same thing that I've read for decades when the agency responds to the same allegations that come up year over year. And so the Texas legislative session runs once every 2 years for 140 days, and each legislative session the agency is called up to sort of report, right? How are things going? Everyone's aware that there have always been problems. And we've also had an incredible number of different executive directors. There's a ton of turnover in that position in this agency. And each time we get a new executive director, we
I went to their website and everything looks great.
It does. And then you look at this report and know also, though, that we see the quarterly reports that come out. So regardless of, you know, that they're saying now things are different, our Office of the Attorney of the Investigator General, those reports come out quarterly and show similar reports.
And but Alicia, so back to finish the five. Not only is Texas, you know, not really listening to the argument to finish the five, aren't they building two more juvenile justice detention facilities?
Right. So last legislative session, there was a bill, HB 4356, that would have directed the legislature to work on a staggered closure of these facilities. We know that if we were to close them all overnight, kids just don't have a place to go. So it's incumbent upon us, and it's incumbent upon us as the responsible adults in this community to create those alternatives. And instead, the legislature decided to invest $200 million to go towards two new facilities, which would never pay for two new facilities for 200 beds is what they were requesting. So, of course, the department, they just released their appropriations request. They're asking for more money to be able to build those facilities. And this is, at the bare minimum, stopping that plan is what we have to do.
Martine Martinez, Texas Appleseed. It was your organization's complaint that kicked off this investigation and brought forth these revelations. Are y'all going to be calling on the DOJ to sue Texas in order to be able to get more, to make Texas actually fix this problem?
I think we're going to wait to see whether or not the state can come to agreement with the department. We hope they can, and we really hope this is an opportunity to make meaningful reforms to our juvenile justice system, because it is not an isolated incident. It is pervasive throughout the entire system. And a point I want to make, too, is just that, you know, whenever the agency says that their staffing levels are improving or they're getting better than pre-pandemic levels, I really want to remind people and emphasize that, you know, our complaint was based on conditions pre-pandemic. Now, the pandemic may have exacerbated issues within the facilities. They may have exacerbated issues with staffing. But the department opened its investigation based on conditions before the pandemic, and they just got that much worse. And truly, if anything, I think this shows that it isn't just a staffing issue. It's a model issue and how easily the model can collapse with any given change. And so we would really, really encourage Texas to move away from this broken system of these large-scale prison-like lockups, and instead, you know, invest in the community. And we hope that the state can invest on the front end so that kids can be prevented from even entering the juvenile justice system at all. And that's through community-based services, counseling, mental health supports, all of that. We would really like for the state to do.
Martine Martinez, he's a senior policy analyst at Texas Appleseed. Also heard from Jennifer Toon. She's a formerly incarcerated youth who organizes with Finish the Five. Alicia Castillo is an associate director of policy at the Texas Civil Rights Project and a co-founder of Finish the Five. We've been reacting to this shocking report from the DOJ about the Texas Juvenile Justice Department. And this is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted and produced by David Martin Davies. Kayla Padilla is our booking and engagement producer. Engineering support from Ruben Garcia, Jesse Reeves, and Steve Short. Dan Katz is TPR's Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.